Do you hope someone will love you for you? Real Life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Han and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Han Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Angelique Marquetin, who went to the depths of drugs, affairs, partying, all to get love and acceptance.
I think that there are a lot of love songs that are created. People constantly make music about love and wanting to be loved, pursuing love, a love that has hurt them. Yeah. And I think that's why so many people get emotional over these things, because we all are yearning to be loved.
Yeah.
And even in my own life, I just wanted someone to love me and to accept me, my goofiness, my flaws, and all of that. And I think when you're dating someone or you're getting to know people, there's this front that people put on because they want this acceptance so bad.
And I think not only just getting acceptance, but I think people really fear rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And that rejection, nobody wants to be rejected, you know? And
right.
So we kind of tiptoe around, do things, hoping that the acceptance won't stop. But when it does stop and the rejection comes, it can be very devastating to anybody, you know?
And it's important that we don't put all of our hope in people, because if we're trying to get our acceptance from people the minute they reject us, that can leave us in a severe depression or feeling down, because we put our love and efforts and hope in someone. Now we're either letting them down or they're letting us down.
But then people say, well, you know, would God even accept me? You know, can God, I mean, do I have to do more? Do I have to behave a certain way for God to accept me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to be honest with you, God accepts you. The Bible says it, that Jesus died on the cross for all of your sins, for everything bad that you've done, so that he could accept you, that you're the accepted and the beloved. I mean, why wouldn't God give you acceptance? In the Bible, it says in Matthew chapter 7, it says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Meaning that if you want acceptance from God and you ask God for that, well, good news, he already did something to deliver that to you. He accepts you through the power of Jesus Christ.
And the way you do that is, it's not trying to be a good person or put on a show for God or work your way. It's accepting Jesus as your Savior, because he did the work for you. He loved you that much that while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. So all you do is you call out and say, I can't work my way to your love. I accept you into my heart, Jesus. And there you have it. So let's hear what Angelique has to say after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week with the help of Card Connect Merchant Services and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. If your business spends too much on credit card processing fees, call and get a quote from Card Connect Merchant Services. Card Connect offers low rates with world-class customer service and is ready to help you save money. Just call Stephen Walker at 601-212-6788. That's Stephen Walker at Card Connect Merchant Services, 601-212-6788.
Colorado Christian University College of Adult and Graduate Studies presents Hope Fest 2017, Saturday, June 10th at Centennial Park Amphitheater. Tickets are just $39 and are on sale at www.thehopefest.com. Less than 5,000 tickets are available, so get them while you can. One day, one stage, 10 huge bands, and 5,000 of your closest friends. HopeFest 2017!
Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Layton. Joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Angelique Marquetin, and she has a story to share about wanting acceptance and all the things she went through to gain that. We're going to hear more about that. Let's welcome to the show, Angelique. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Yes. So I know that you had a mom and a dad who had a ministry together helping heroin addicts. Can you tell me about that?
I was born and raised in Germany, actually, and my father opened up pretty much a drug rehab, but it was a Christian ministry, and it was for heroin addicts.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to pray over people that had withdrawals, and people would have no withdrawals at all.
Wow.
Yeah, it was incredible. So that's kind of, I was there for a few years as a child under that whole thing.
Well, you were 11 years old when you gave your heart to Jesus, but it was at that time you started going through some pain that they call now fibromyalgia, but you were in chronic pain. And at the same time, you struggled with self-esteem. Tell me a little bit about you at 11 years old.
Yeah, I know when I gave my heart to God, it was very real. But yeah, I started having chronic pain pretty much right after that. And I just realized that recently when I thought about that, but it was right at that time. And my parents got divorced when I was about 12.
Hmm.
I had three brothers and we all were pretty much separated. It was two of us with mom, two of us with dad.
Mm.
And I just had really low self-esteem. I just didn't think that I was smart enough, pretty enough. There was some sexual abuse from some friends, from my parents.
Oh, man.
And so I just didn't think I was worth anything at all.
Wow.
Like, I mean, no identity at all. It was just terrible.
Oh.
Do you think that the divorce had anything to do with where you were at and how you were feeling emotionally?
I think so. I think that when my parents went through a divorce, they were just so busy with that. Plus, we were four kids, so that was a lot. They just didn't have much time, I think, to pay attention to us.
Mm.
And we felt it.
Mm. That's so hard.
And I do believe that that affected me for sure.
You know, what's really interesting about your life is that your parents had a ministry, you know, helping these addicts. And then they ended up getting a divorce, which is really hard, especially when you're in ministry and people are looking to you, and then this happens.
Right.
But what is so befuddling about the whole situation is that you ended up on drugs yourself. How did you end up on drugs?
Well, when I was 16, I moved to America, and I had a really hard time adjusting and kind of started getting in trouble, smoking cigarettes, and hanging out with bad influence. And my mother pretty much kicked me out. She said, "You're going back to your dad," which was in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So in Germany, my dad was pretty busy. And I just started partying. I started hanging out with the wrong crowd, was looking for acceptance. Everyone that I ran into, they partied. They were doing drugs, selling drugs. I would go to parties and get stuff for free all the time. It just gave me a lot of confidence, I thought.
Mm.
So I really enjoyed that, thinking I enjoyed it anyways. I got stuck doing that for a few years. You know, I wasn't physically addicted at that point yet, but that's all I did. And that's what I enjoyed. I wasn't good at school. I wasn't good at anything else. So I just went and partied. I danced. I enjoyed that.
Mm.
And obviously, I just was totally lost, but I didn't realize it yet.
Right. And where was God for you at this time?
Well, that's the thing. Like I said, I was saved when I was 11, so it was a constant battle. I never had peace. I felt this good and evil thing going on in my heart. So I had a lot of anxiety and depression because of that, I think. So I was always torn. I always knew that God was real. I could sense it in my heart because, you know, I got saved. He was in my heart already. But I couldn't stop. I didn't have the tools.
Right.
Right. Just wanted to keep going.
You ended up getting married and had a child, but the marriage was not a good marriage at that time. In fact, you were on more drugs and had panic attacks. You tried to go through detox centers and seems like the addiction got worse. Tell me about that.
For a little while, I was sober and I moved back to America again to be with my mother, but then ended up getting older. I got married. It was a little dysfunctional. I was really young. I was still kind of in my addiction back and forth. And then when I had my son, I thought everything was going to get better.
Mm.
But it ended up being more difficult for me. I ended up way more addicted because of my chronic pain, I think, because it was hard for me physically to take care of him. So what I ended up doing is I started self-medicating and started getting pain medications and things like that. It was just a vicious cycle. I had a hard time admitting it to my husband at the time. And I didn't feel that there was the support that I needed. So I just got stuck in this guilt, shame, my constant panic attacks. I went to detox in and out here and there, 30-day programs. It was a vicious cycle.
So Angelique, let me just clarify. So basically you're doing this whole thing, being addicted to drugs, and you didn't want to do it, but then you're convincing yourself to do it. Is that right? And your husband didn't even know.
Yeah, I think a lot of times he didn't know. There was times where I kind of admitted it and then I kind of said, yeah, I'm fine again. But I think he was in denial about it because I wasn't the perfect wife that he thought I was.
Yeah.
He didn't want to admit that.
Yeah.
So yeah, because I had chronic pain, I think I kind of talked myself into it being okay, especially because it was pain medication.
Yeah.
Until obviously the end when it gets to the point where you're doing more street drugs and then it goes out of control.
Wow, man.
I knew it was wrong. And also because I had the conviction of this Holy Spirit in me always. But it was such a fight and such a struggle.
There came a point where you met with someone who is a pastor and they asked you a question. Tell me about that.
Yeah, my mother and her pastor, they came to my house and they asked me, so what do you choose? Do you choose life or death? Do you choose God or the enemy? And I literally verbally said, I choose the enemy. And my reason for that was that at this point, I just felt so weak. I felt like, you know, I'd given my life to God already, but I just don't know how to get close to God. I don't know how to stop. I don't know how to live. I felt like if I could end my life, I would do it, but I was too scared to do that. Mm. So that's why I was like a walking panic attack.
Wow.
You know, it was out of control. It was totally hopeless.
Right.
I had no identity at all.
You felt trapped, it seems.
I felt completely trapped, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I said that with my mouth, I felt like God said to me, you want to do this on your own? Go ahead and see what happens. And that's when everything went horrible, out of control.
Mm.
I ended up having an affair on my husband at the time because I just didn't see things the right way. I was so desperate for love and couldn't stop drugs. It was hopeless at this point.
Wow. I'm listening to your story in your life. I'm like, there has to be a God, because for this person to do what you've done, go through these drugs like you had, and to feel these things that you felt and go through the pain, what has kept you from taking your life? And so there are people listening right now who feel trapped. They don't know if God is enough, or maybe they feel like God has let them down. And we're going to pray for them, and we're going to have you back on our show to talk about how you got freedom from the hopelessness and how you got freedom from the panic attacks and the things that were coming against you. Thank you for being with us, Angelique, and we're going to pray for our guests.
Thank you so much.
I think that's so very real. It's just a very real story about how people start off like it's going to be good and things are going to be great in life. And then little by little, we get hurt. And little by little, things begin to creep up and we feel like we need something. We need acceptance. We need to self-medicate the pain away. And the truth is, Jesus is the medicine that will heal us from the true pain. People don't think of it usually. People think, well, it's something else. I need something else. But Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm just going to take a moment to pray for someone who needs this truth and needs this way right now. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. And I'm just lifting up someone who's going through anxiety, panic, and someone right now who's self-medicating and has just made all these reasons around it, but it has become an addiction. In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray that you would break those addictions, break that pain right now by the power of the gospel. And in Jesus' name, Lord God, we just ask for the Holy Spirit to begin to wrap around us. And Jesus, you are the way. And we receive you, Jesus, the real you, into our lives, into our hearts, into everything we are, to bring healing in Jesus' name.
Amen. Jesus is the one who can bring you true peace, everlasting peace, and peace that surpasses all understanding, where you don't need a drug, you just need him. Call out to him. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.